So Mesilat Yesharim teaches that a person has to realize that this world is just the preparation. The goal is the next world. And we see that because the human being is a creature that looks for pleasures, wants pleasures. But who could say that in this world they have a life of pleasure? You know, no one in this world is enjoying every moment of this world. There are all sorts of misfortunes. And a person, as time goes, ages. And then it's just impossible to get the physical pleasures of this world. So therefore, it's important to realize that this world is amazing because it's the arena in which we can earn the next world. This world is very, very special because it's the place where, for small little things, we can pick up eternity. We can have such great achievements with just little things in this world. You know, there's a story about the Gaon of Vilna, that when he was dying, he was crying. And they said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because in this world, with just a couple of pennies, I can get a pair of tzitzis." The Torah says, "Or isemoso, you'll see the tzitzis, and you'll remember all the mitzvos of Hashem." And therefore, the Gemara says that tzitzis is equal to all the mitzvos. So, with two pennies, I can get eternity. Oh, Danny, this reminded me. Danny has a special connection to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. We came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he told Danny,
"I took off the chain." Very
nice. That's what he told Danny.
Now I got to move the hair from here.
That's
to my
right.
Beard.
He told Danny to take off his chain. He told him to grow a beard, and Danny listened.
I went with my chain, you know. And Kanievsky looks at me and says to me, "Give your wife back the jewelry you stole from her."
So Rav Chaim Kanievsky is the person who gets Sandik the most in the world. He must be Sandik.
6,600.
He's already been Sandik?
He's already.
He's been Sandik many, many times. Multiple times a day. He's Sandik all the time. So somebody said to him, there's a skula that the Sandik should become wealthy. Because the Gemara, the Ramah says that a person who's a Sandik, he's like he offered Ketores as a skula to become wealthy. So he said, "Rav Chaim, you're not wealthy. You don't even own your own apartment." So he said, they asked this question to my father, the author of the book, Kehilas Yaakov. And my father said, "The skula came true. Look, I published all these books of Torah, Kehilas Yaakov on Shas. That's wealth. It's spiritual wealth." So they said to Reb Chaim, "Okay, you appreciate spiritual wealth. Your father appreciates spiritual wealth. Let's say someone doesn't appreciate spiritual wealth. He wants physical wealth. Will Sandikos be a merit for him to become physically wealthy? Can it be tested?" Sir Chaim Kanievsky said, "If somebody doesn't appreciate spiritual wealth, he's a meshugana. Being a meshugana already is reason to forfeit the bracha. He's a meshugana. What right does he have to be a meshugana? He doesn't deserve the blessing. The blessing is spiritual wealth." So that concept, that the spiritual wealth, that's the real bracha. That's the idea that Mesilat Yesharim is saying. We're in this world. What are we trying to get out of this world? Pleasures? It's not so pleasurable. How many people have a really pleasurable life? It's a tiny group. So no, that's not what the world's about. The world is about pleasure, but the pleasure is in the next world. And the way to have the pleasure of the next world is through spiritual wealth, doing a lot of mitzvos, doing a lot of good, teaching Torah, learning Torah, fulfilling mitzvos. All those mitzvos, they add up to be tremendous rewards in the next world. And that's the great wealth. That's what life in this world is all about. Life in this world is all about to try to get us, to give us the chance to earn the wonderful rewards of the next world. This is it, to stock up, to grab a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. And, you know, every mitzvah is a chance to be godly, to be elevated. So that's what this world is all about. It's the arena of challenge. Hopefully we'll merit to overcome the temptations and the struggles and to do the right thing, to do the holy things, to serve God. And when we serve God, then we've earned tremendous things in the next world. So Mesilas Yesharim gives a path, how he thinks a person can get there to the ideal of Kedusha. So this now begins the second chapter, which is about the biur midat hazihirut. The first step is to be careful, and this is learned from Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah, where Pinchas ben Yair said, zihirus mivia lidei zrizus, that being careful brings a person to being zariz, to be somebody who runs after doing the right things. So, what is zihirut? Says Mesilat Yesharim, hine inyan hazihirut hu, shiyeh ha'adam nizhar b'ma'asav uv'inyanav, klomar, mitbonein u'mefakeach al ma'asav u'drachav. The first step, seemingly the most essential, is to take a step back and to think about what we're doing. To be critical about our actions, and even more than our actions, to think about our whole approach. The first step is to take stock. And that's something which is seemingly obvious. No one does things without thinking about it before. But actually, it's really not obvious. A lot of people never think about what they're doing. They're just so busy doing whatever it is that they're doing, they don't have time to think about what they're doing. They're just running. They're running from the morning to whatever it is the schedule is. They go to shul, then they have to get home, get the kids out, then run to work, work all day, come home, relax a little bit, go to sleep, wake up the next day. And they never take a step back and say, one second, let me look at all the things that I'm doing. Is this the right approach? Am I working in the right field? Am I? That's it, exactly. Hitvodadut, right? Hitvodadut is an amazing thing where you go out and you take time to think about yourself, think about Hashem, think about tefillah. And that, according to Masilat Yesharim, that's the first step. The first step is to regularly take a step back and to examine, to question, and actually to reorient and recalibrate and say, you know what? I was on one path. I'm doing X, Y, and Z. Maybe it's not the right path. I've got to shift. I have to take on a new emphasis and a different approach and change this or change that and work on this attribute or that attribute. To always be assessing, because if a person's not assessing, the unexamined life is the wasted life. The first step to getting to good goals, to achieving the right things, is to be examining what we are doing, to be questioning what we are doing, to be examining our whole approach, and to be thinking about, you know, what's my mission? What's my particular task? The Gra writes, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, we say it in Davening, La'adam ma'arche leiv, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Umei Hashem Ma'ane Lashon. To God, to man is the arrangements of the heart, and from God comes the answer to the tongue. In other words, man has all sorts of thoughts. Maybe this, maybe that. La'adam Ma'arche Lev, man arranges his heart. And then God says, yes, this, or no, it should be that. Man used to go to the Navi. People used to go to the Navi, and they'd say to the Navi, what's my mission in life? What should I be doing? That's where you have the story of Shaul. Shaul's father lost some donkeys. So he tells his son, go look for the donkeys. He goes to the Navi, says, I'm looking for the donkeys of my father. And the Navi says, no, you're supposed to be the king. Don't look for donkeys. You're supposed to be the king of the Jewish people, and I'm anointing you to become the king. So that, says the Gra, that was the way it used to be. People would go to the Navi and say, I'm looking for a donkey, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that. And the Navi would say, you have the wrong mission in life. Your mission is to be the king. I'm going to tell you what your soul's all about. You go do it. Nowadays, we don't have Navi'im. So how does a person know what his mission is and what he should be dedicated on? So a person has to look within himself. He has to look to his character, look to his personality. What are the elements of his personality that lead him to that seemingly are gifts for Yom Tov, that are seemingly gifts that he can use for Hashem, that he can employ in Hashem's service? What was he set up for? What is he drawn to? What is he good at? Where does it seem that this is an area that he can contribute to Hashem? And then he should pursue that. This is what Mesillas Yesharim writes in Shara Bitachon. He says, every person can earn a livelihood. Because Hashem gives the livelihood. It's not the person who's earning the livelihood. It's Hashem who gives the livelihood. So how does a person know what he should do? So he says, a person should think, you know, what does it seem like Hashem made me to do? Am I someone who's very patient? Am I someone who's not patient? Am I someone who's good with my hands, not good with my hands? Look at what it is I seemingly am, you know, cut out for. What were the basic, pieces? And then, what am I attracted to? What am I good at? And then, you know, if I have a little bit of obstacles along the way, that's probably a good confirmation that that's the right thing. Because if it would be smooth, it's probably not the right thing. It's too easy. Right. The Yetzer Hara is fighting it, then that's a good sign that that's the right thing. And that's, you follow with bitachon, and Hashem can provide. And whatever the field is, Hashem can provide. It could be wonderful. And if it's some other field and it's not meant to be, even if it's a great field, a person won't have. So a person has to have bitachon that Hashem is going to provide, and Hashem is the one who takes care. And what to do, a person has to look within himself.
If it's easy, it's not worth doing, and if you're doing it, then it's not easy, something like that.
Well, he says you should look for a profession that's not too physically taxing, because he says if you look for a job where you're like in construction or something very hard on the body, you'll be too tired to daven at night, to learn a little bit at night. You should look for a job that's kala unakia, kala, light on the body physically, and nakia, it should be an honest profession, and it should be something that you're drawn to, and also that you are, based on the way you were born, you're well-suited for it. You're born with those, attributes, right? Your attributes lead you to that type of a profession, and you're attracted to it. And if there's some obstacles along the way, that's a good sign. That's a sign that the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, is trying to stop you, because he knows that's your mission. But everybody has their mission, and the key, this is what Ramchal is arguing for, the key is to be a person who regularly takes breaks to assess. Am I doing the right things? Is my character the right way? Maybe it isn't. How do I change it? What do I need to do to change it? Is my overall mission the right mission? Maybe my mission's the wrong mission. Maybe I'm in the wrong objective entirely. How do I change my objective? How do I work on that? And a person has to always be recalibrating, reassessing, looking. It has to be misbonein bidrachav. It has to be looking at his ways and examining his ways. And that's the biggest key.
It feels like it's two dimensions. Well, on the one hand, it's reassessing your goals every once in a while. That's important. On the other hand, if you're always so fixated on certain goals, you're so focused on work, but you haven't really focused on family, or you haven't really focused on, your parents, you're more focused on your kids, to just kind of take a bit of a step back and say, look, I need to kind of reassess all my goals, across...
Yes, regularly. Regularly, to be thinking about your ways. So now, continuing on Ramchal, we have to look at our ways, hatovim heimim lo, are our ways good or not? Levilti azov nafsho l'sakanata ivadon chas v'chalila. To not risk the light, the soul, to annihilation. Ramchal is saying something very, very critical. He's saying if we don't examine what we're doing, then just because of that, we might end up having wasted a life. You could reach the end of life and say, I did this, I did that. Total waste of the gifts that Hashem gave me. Total waste. I get to the next world and I'm lost. I'm lost because I didn't take the time out to reassess and to examine and to question. A person should never say, well, this is my routine. I keep on with my routine. That's not a good reason to do it, because it's the routine. Then a person might be a blind person, walking in the dark. A blind person walking in the dark is following his routine. That's no good. You have to be examining. You have to be questioning. You have to be looking and challenging. And otherwise, a blind person walking, a blind person trying to walk on a crossbeam in the dark, or walk on some uh, some string between two skyscrapers, he's in grave danger. It's crazy. So that's what Ramchal says. We're in a dangerous world. There's so many areas we can go wrong. We think we're doing the right thing. It may be the wrong thing. So many things. How do we not take a step back and shine a light and examine and question and try to fix and improve? There's so much that we have to do. Otherwise, routine is disastrous. Now, this is something which we understand is necessary. If you have the ability to save yourself and to escape from losing yourself, how can a person say, well, I'll just ignore it. I'll ignore the chance to save myself. There's nothing worse than that. Someone who doesn't want to examine and possibly save himself, he's worse than an animal. An animal doesn't have a mind. So you can't blame the animal for not using his mind. But even the animals that don't have a mind, they all by nature try to protect themselves. They sense danger. They avoid danger. If they see something that might damage them, they run away. So one second, this world is filled with pitfalls. So many pitfalls where we could fall into danger. How do we not run away? The way to run away is to use our mind, is to start examining and questioning and asking, are we doing the right thing? Are we working on the right thing? Are we trying to improve our character? If a person just goes through life, doesn't think, im tova darko, im ra'a, if his path is right or it's wrong, he's like a blind person walking by a riverbank. He put himself into grave danger. The possibility that he ends up harming himself is more likely than the possibility that he saves himself. Now, sometimes people don't watch themselves either by nature or because they choose that way. They might want to not watch. I remember I once went on the zip line in Alon Shvut. Not Alon Shvut, it's in Efrat. It was over a highway. So I said, yeah, I'll be a gibor, you know, I'll get up onto the zip line. So I'm going on the zip line, and then I look down, and I realize the only thing holding me is just this harness. I was like, whoa, I'm scared. So I closed my eyes. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just thinking, and before I know it, boom, I was at the other end of the zip line. I had gotten to the other side. So that's some people, right? We don't want to confront a scary sight. So we close our eyes. So people have all sorts, so we have flaws in our personalities. Instead of confronting what we're doing, saying, you know what? I close my eyes, I pretend I'm okay, I don't have to examine, keep on going. But that's really foolish. Echadu, it's the same thing, whether I willfully close my eyes or by nature I'm closing my eyes, I'm in a very dangerous place. And I should therefore be someone who examines what I'm doing. Yirmiyahu HaNavi tells us this. He was complaining about his generation. And what was he criticizing them for? That they were afflicted with this plague. They would ignore what they were doing. Without paying attention to what they're doing. Should they keep doing it? Or should they leave it? Yirmiyahu tells them, no one's regretting his bad. Kulo shabim rutzatam. They're all just running. Like a horse running in a war. You know, he's with the herd. Everybody's following the herd. No one's stepping back to examine. They were just running in their routine. Without giving themselves time. To start asking, are the actions right? Are the ways right? So it comes out that they are falling into misfortune without even noticing the misfortune. This is one of the Yetzer Hara's major objectives. To make people so busy with work so that there's no space to think about the path in which they're going. Because he knows he knows that if we would give even a little bit of attention to what we're doing, we would have some regret. We would have some regret. How could we not have some regret about the things that we're doing? Who can say, you know, I'm 100%, I'm great. No, we all have misdeeds and sins. And if we would just give a little bit of time to look at what we're doing, we'd regret. And regret is the first step to change. Regret, then thinking about how we should improve and actually improving. So how does he get us not to do that? Never take a step back. You're too busy. You have to rush and do and be. And there's never a chance to stop. That's why in the Torah scroll, there are big breaks of empty space. Like between one paragraph and the next, you have a whole line of empty spaces, or half a line. Why do you need all that empty space? So Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, Kedei latet revach, to give space, lehit bonin. To think. You have to take a step back to think. But often, we don't think. We're just so busy, and we're in such a rush, and we're in such routines, and we're in such habits, that we're never thinking. If we would think, we would right away regret. Then we would leave the sin. That's what we find. The first example of this was Paro. Shamar, he tells, when Moshe comes and says, let the Jews go, how does Paro react? So they need to work harder. Tichbad ha'avoda la'anashim, let the workload get weightier, and let them not have any time to think. Val yishu b'divrei shaka, not have time to think if they want to leave, they want to go out. No, they have to work. Shayamit kavein shelo laniach lem revach klal, he wanted them not to have any break. The vilti yitnu leaves, that they don't pay any attention, or think about rebelling against him. His point was not to enable their heart to think. Through the power of work that never stops. This is literally what the evil urge is doing to each of us. He is a great general. He knows all the great, you know, military maneuvers. Ef Sharle Malek Mimenu, you can't escape him. Ela Bechachma Rabba, except if you think of a lot of wisdom. You have to come up with brilliant ideas to outsmart him. Vashkafa Gedola, the first step in that is to pay a lot of attention. You have to regularly step back. Think about what am I doing? What am I doing that I could change? What am I doing that I should improve? What am I doing that I need to readjust? Is my path the right path? Are the details the right details? I need to step back and examine and reassess. Regret. There's so many things that I'm doing wrong. I have to regret those and regularly change from them. That's the first step. The first step is to, what Doron said, hitbodedut. But it bodhidut it not just to be alone with God, but to be alone with yourself. What is it about me that's good? What is it about me that really needs to be improved? How do I change? How do I serve God more? How do I get closer to God? That's the first step.
Constant is just constant. There's no frequency for one to come back.
He doesn't mention it here, but I think that other Sfarim would say, like maybe before Rosh Chodesh, every month, Erev Rosh Chodesh, if a person's even more, maybe every Erev Shabbos. There are times that are sort of, obviously, Chodesh Elul, but there are times that are good. There should be times that, you know, this is an end, this is a beginning, this is a good time to reassess and to think and to try to fix, improve.
Yeah. You know what I learned? Is that, you know, when you take a camera and you put it on the ground, it's got three legs. Okay. One is for good, one is for bad, one is to think about it.
Very nice. That's right, a tripod. Very nice. The good that we're doing, the bad, the things we have to think about. Very nice.
It's around 1,000 eyes.
That's right, right. He's always after us. So one of his biggest approaches is to get us to be so busy that we don't pay attention to what we should pay attention to.
And even when you're busy with good things like Torah and learning and everything like that, it's, you know, sometimes you can use that in a negative way, like, let's say, to not spend time with your family when you're neglecting, you know, but it's...
That's true. I think today it's much worse than the days of Ramchal because the technology is such that literally people who work in, you know, high stress industries where they're getting lots of texts or lots of emails, chemically they are heroin addicts. The way the algorithms were made in these different things, whether it's WhatsApp or Instagram or Snap, the algorithms were such that it's to create an addiction. And there are studies that it has the level of, what's the hormone equivalent that's released?
The dopamine
in the brain that's released by this addictive behavior is equal to the dopamine released in heroin addiction. So it's like always, how could a person sit and really think? It's like, but maybe I'm getting a text. Maybe that stock's collapsing. You know, like it's like always. It's like it's constant. It's much harder, I think, today than it was to regularly step away and like really shut down all the distractions and to say, let me examine myself. Let me examine what I'm doing right, what's wrong. How do I change? How do I improve? Like, who has time for that? It's like, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out on that next message. You know, it's
pretty amazing that we've had Shabbos for thousands of years. People now write books about disconnecting once a week. You know, we have, like, structural things in our lives that
hopefully,
that,
right,
you know, allow us to kind of do that
right
stuff.
And, that's right. That's right.
But we can blame Kadosh Baruch Hu for making us an adaptive animal.
Maybe it's our challenge. He wants us to earn some.
We are adaptive animals. So what happens is the organs in the glands, like the dopamine antagonist or the other one, the counter of dopamine.
But
it doesn't matter. What happens is the gland starts producing as you demand more.
Yeah.
He's just giving it to us. Yeah. It's like, oh, you want it? Okay, here it comes.
But it's a challenge. We can overcome. He's giving us challenges.
There has to be a higher level that says, okay,
we can overcome.
Don't overeat because you're going to get fat.
Addiction should be towards Torah, so you have that beautiful like taste and experience.
Exactly.
That's
great.
And
that's the best.
You become addicted because
so if all your texts are about Torah, and all the WhatsApp about
that, you're speaking verbally.
Yeah, and learning Torah and enjoying the experience of learning and trying to always learn more and grow more. Absolutely, that's a huge piece. But Ramchal's point is we should all have time that we take away to examine what we're doing and to recalibrate. It's a very important mission because the routines themselves are not always good. And that's a great danger.
I just want to ask a question.
Please.
So Ramchal is saying that the person who doesn't take time to contemplate and reflect on his life is going, he compares it to an Iver Be'afela, which is a blind person in darkness.
Dark.
But it's an interesting thing because a blind person doesn't need darkness to not see. Yeah, the blind person is blind in the light, is blind in the dark. So good. What's the
why a blind person in the dark? Because I think if a blind person is in the light, people who see can help him. But if a blind person is in the dark, nobody can see him, so nobody can help him. So maybe Ramchal is saying,
helpless
if
completely.
I don't think about life, not only will I not help myself, but even other well-intentioned, good friends are not going to be able to help me. Because if they tell me something, I won't accept it. But if I'm someone who's open to thinking about what I'm doing, and in fact, I'm looking to improve what I'm doing, maybe I'll appreciate the criticism and the lessons I learned from others because I'm open to getting it. Shlomo Melech says, "Ahavas hatochachos, love rebuke." You know, I love, you know, getting that criticism. Now I know what I can improve. But a person who's just running with the mill, he's not open to any criticism because he's not doing anything wrong. He's fine. So he's blind in the dark.
It's hard to give rebuke. You need to be very like,
not even rebuke, just to share with somebody advice, help.
Or maybe it's that a blind person is comfortable without being able to see, and is comfortable, you know, just kind of just going, you know, based on faith. But to that point, that right when other people around you can guide you, you know, then you know if they can't guide you, then you have no chance. You know.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Go ahead.
Kelly, let's vote. Thanks for staying.
Thank you, Jari.